You got the promotion. You bought the thing that you always wanted. So why do you feel so empty inside? You've attained the prizes, you've attained the goal, you in the according to the world, you have success on every single level. You have the house you always wanted, the car you always wanted, the family you always wanted. So why does it feel so empty inside? Why do you feel like you're losing? But you're not really losing, you're just spiritually starving. Because anytime you have success in the world and God is not the center of it all, you still feel like you haven't attained anything. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to understand why chasing the things of the world can still leave you empty inside. Are you interested? Let's get into it. Man, years ago, in the natural, you would say, I had the house that I always wanted. I had the job I always wanted. I was living in a city I had always wanted to live in. And on the outside, it looked like everything was going right. I mean, I'm a follower of God. I'm believing I received the promise that I asked God for because I always wanted to sit in this one particular church under this one particular minister. And that was my heart's desire. And I believe that there was an open door for me to be able to go there. And one day when I was at work in another state, I got a phone call and it said, hey, Milt, we got a great opportunity for you. We think you would be a great fit. Hey, would you like to fly down for an interview? I'm like, oh, absolutely. So I'm excited because I'm believing this has got to be God. So I fly all the way down to this other state and everything. And I go to the interview and I'm meeting with the plant manager and we're talking about the position. And him and his family are showing me around the city and taking me to dinner and the whole nine yards. And it had to be right. Now, they was going to offer me more money. They was going to have housing expenses and all these great things. But I was thinking about the fact I'm going to be able to go to the one church to sit under the one minister that I had always wanted to be able to sit under. In the natural, everything felt right. So I get back to my original state where I was living at, and I'm excited because I know this has got to be God. So eventually we ended up moving down there. We started a job, started working in the plant, started going to the church. I had no peace. On the outside, the house was a house that I had always wanted to live in, the state I had always wanted to live in, being in a church I always wanted to be in, but I had no peace. So then I go home one day after going to this church and at the Bible study, and I'm going home, and someone said, hey, something is wrong, and you need to find out what it is. And I walk into the house, I go into the room, I'm on my knees, and before I can get all the way to my knees, this is what the Father says. He says, you are in my permissive will. You are not in my perfect will. I'm like, Lord, what do you mean? He says, this is what you desire, but this is not what I desire for you. He said, you can stay here if you want, but I can only bless you so far because this is not my perfect will for your life. I said, okay, Father, what do you need me to do? He says, get up in the morning, call this one individual, and I'll take care of the rest. So what did I do? I got up that morning. I called the individual like he instructed me to. He says, Milt, that is great. Just leave it to me. I'll get you back here. He got me back to the place where I had left. Not only did he get me back to the place that I had left, but when I got back there, he had already had promotions and raises, and I went back to a brand new condo. I ended up going to a church that I never thought I would have been going to that led me to where I am today. But it all started with making the decision to turn and get back into right position. What had happened? I had allowed the things I had saw, chasing the things that in the world seemed like it was right. In the natural, it seemed like I had everything going for me. But in reality, I was out of the perfect will of God. I had let things pull me from God's perfect will for my life. So if that's the way you're feeling right now, let me be the first to tell you, you are not the first person who has ever made that mistake. I have also made that mistake, but I will also reassure you that if you make this practical shift, it will help you to get right back in to God's ways of doing things. See, what God had told the church through the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2. He says it this way, verse 15. He says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratifications, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidding cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he or she who does the will of God and carries out his purposes is in his life abides or remains forever. God said it this way through the Apostle Paul to the church of Rome. He said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, this age. He says, don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed in the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in sight for you. When I was in that situation, I had to know that if I'm going to find out what was the problem, I couldn't go to another man. I couldn't go to another woman. Why am I going to go to somebody else when I can go to the one who knows all things? He knows the things that are going on with me. He knows the things that are going in this situation. He knows the things that are in front of me. He knows the things that are behind me. So when I made a decision to get before God and find out, Father, what is wrong? He put his finger right on it. But the thing about it is that even though God puts his finger right on it, you still can make a decision to override what it is he says. Because on the outside, if you looked at everything on the outside, according to the world, we were winning. We were on top. We was getting the things which we desired. In fact, the main reason that opened up the door for me to be able to go get this first opportunity was the fact that the plant manager said when he was in the plant where I used to be at, he saw me reading my Bible. He saw me reading my Bible in my office. He saw me reading my Bible at the lunch table. He saw me reading my Bible at the meeting table that we met every morning unashamedly. And he says, if anybody is that bold about reading their Bible like that, he says, I want that person on my team. Paul, writing to the church of Galatians, said it this way in Galatians 1 and 4. He says, who yielded himself up to atone for our sins and to save and sanctify us in order to rescue us and deliver us from this present wicked age and world order in accordance with the will and purpose and plan of God the Father. Jesus himself gave himself up to set us apart from this. He rescued us and delivered us from this present world, this wicked age, this world order in accordance with what was God's perfect plan, perfect will and plan for us when Jesus went to us to the cross on our behalf. It was never God's will for you and I to be subject to the things of this world. But it was God's will that when Jesus went to the cross, that we not only would be saved, but that we would have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. You got to understand, you have an adversary out here, and the adversary wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. But Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, but I came that you might have life and have life in abundance to the full until it overflows, and that you are not bound to the world's ways of doing things. He says, but that you are being transformed, being changed by the total renewing of your mind, that you can be conformed to God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. But there's no way you're going to be able to do that as long as you're still chasing after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The thing about that is there's nothing new about that. That's one of the adversary's main things. In fact, he used that in the Garden of Eden when he was dealing with Adam and Eve. When he was talking to Eve in the Genesis chapter 3, he says this, Can you not eat of all the trees of the garden? And Eve, not thinking about what it is he says, it must have been normal for animals and Adam and Eve to talk to them. Because you got to understand this. If an animal just walked up to you and started talking to you who ain't supposed to talk to you, you already know, get away from that animal. But when he walks up to her, he says, did God indeed say you cannot eat of all the trees of the garden? But the woman said here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, she said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what did he do? He presented her with a different thought. He presented her with a different option that contradicted what it is that God said. It sounded similar to what God said, but it had a twist. That's why it's called wickedness. That's what the word wicked means. It means to be twisted. He perverted what it is God said. How did he pervert it? He took something that was good and turned it into something that was worse. So what happened when the woman saw the tree that it was good for fruit? She had the lust of the flesh and that it was pleasant for the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And it was desirable to make one wise, the pride of life. She took it and she ate. And then she also gave it to her husband and he ate also. So what did he do? He didn't start with the fruit itself. It started with a thought. He presented a different thought that was similar to what it is that God has said, but it was not exactly what it is that God has said. And in doing so, he convinced the woman and who also turned and gave to her husband that God was holding something back from him. That the reason why you need to make these things happen for yourself is because God is withholding something from you. Can I tell you something? You can chase the world's ways, this world's goods until hell freezes over. Guess what? It's never going to satisfy you. You know, it's interesting. And working in the automotive business, and that car, that brand new, that spanking new car that comes off the assembly line, once that car gets to the dealership, if that car sits for a little while, you know what begins to happen? Even though it's brand new, nobody's ever driven it other than driving off the assembly line. You know what begins to happen? It begins to deteriorate. The materials in them begin to deteriorate. They begin to rust. If you don't move them, they will begin to seize. If you don't start them, the batteries will die. Even though they're brand spanking new, nobody's ever driven it. Nobody's ever used it in any kind of way. Why? Because the things of this world are passing away. You ever notice that you can clean your house and leave your house for a week, and when you left it, the house was spotless. It was clean. But when you come back, there's dust all over your house. Was anybody in your house while you was gone? Nope. But the things of this world will begin to deteriorate. You ever notice that, you know, you can get all the surgeries you want on your body to make everything, that things that sag and begin to lift up and do all the tucking you want to do. But over time, no matter how many surgeries you have, gravity still sets in and things that were once up high are going low. And things that were once slim are beginning to expand. Why? Because the things of this world will pass away. But you know what won't pass away? God's word, God's will, God's plan for your life if you make a decision to follow after him. So you got to understand that in this world, you have two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of God, God's way of doing and being right, his governing system. And you have the kingdom of darkness. That's the adversary's ways of being right and are being wrong and continuously being wrong. And the adversary believes his way of doing things according to the kingdom of darkness will eventually overpower God's ways of being right. He's thoroughly convinced. He's so convinced that he spends all his time trying to convince you and I that his way is better than God's way. And you know, the things of the world, they do look good for a season. They do look good. I mean, you would be a lie if you say, oh man, I've never been tempted by that. You already lying to yourself. They do look good for the season. but the cost of it is way more expensive than you can afford to pay. The thing about that is you see these in relationships. You see people going in relationships and out of relationships, and in relationships and out of relationships, hoping that this next individual is going to be the secret sauce, that they're going to be the X factor. They're going to be the one who's going to cause me never to feel this hurt and pain again. But can I tell you a secret? If you get in that relationship and you do the same things in that relationship that you did in the previous relationships that aren't according to the will of God, are not according to the word of God. Prime example, if you start having sex with that person with no covenant made before God, in other words, you have got before a man and woman of God and come together in holy matrimony, then what will happen is you will end up in a spiritual tie with that individual because you had sex with them. You know what happens when you begin to have sex with them? You can no longer see clearly the things that you need to see about that person's character. Begin to see the things about that, how that person conducts themselves in tight situations. You won't be able to see the things that you need to be able to see about them to make a long-term decision that says, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. And you know what happens when you get up from doing what you just did and you go home, all you have done is magnify the fact that you are very much alone, because no matter how many people you sleep, you can't sleep with enough people to fill that void. You can't drink enough drinks to fill that void. You can't smoke enough weed, do enough drugs to fill that void. The void in your heart that's longing for a greater, stronger relationship with God. And what the adversary is promising you through all these worldly lusts and desires is, if I give you all these things, you won't miss God. You will fill that void without doing it God's way. You will have everything that you want without having to do it God's ways. And that's what the spirit of mammon promises to those. And that's why so many people are drawn to it, is because the spirit of mammon says, I can give you all the things you want, all the things you desire, and you don't even have to do it God's way. But what he doesn't tell you is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you still got to stand before God and give an account for what it is that you and I did in our bodies. He doesn't tell you that part. And it looks good, and it looks tempting. And, you know, for somebody to say, well, I've never been tempted by that, we've got an altar for liars, because everybody's been tempted by it, is whether or not you give into it. And it's so subtle. Hey, Bob, we got overtime this weekend, and I'll pay you triple time, Bob, but it's on Sunday between the hours of 9 and 3 o'clock. Well, you know what? That'd be great, sir. Thank you so very much. And you know what? Our church has online services, so I can get it online. But you know, I'll be so tired by the time I get home, I might fall asleep and forget to go back and watch the service. What did he do? He just enticed you to draw you away from what it is that God had intended you to do by getting the word of God, that you may get the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. What's another thing that happens? You know what? I know he ain't saved, girl. He's fine and he's nice and he can buy me this and he can buy me that. And girl, ooh, did I tell you he was fine? And you get in a relationship, you know he no more want nothing to do with your God than a man in the moon. But you are drawn to him because you are letting that pressure that says, hey, man, my body is craving, I'm horny, and I desire these things, and I'm getting older, and I need to get married because I'm getting pressure from my family to get married and to have babies, but I haven't found anything. And even though he ain't saved, I can get him saved. Can I help you, ladies? You can't get him saved. If he ain't made a decision that he wants Jesus, you can't get him saved. Well, it happened for my friend. You know, Boniqua, yeah, but you don't know all the stuff that Boniqua had to go through in order to get there. And all the many nights that Boniqua was crying and crying out to God and begging God, you cannot force another person to do something against their will. You know what that's called? Witchcraft. You can't do it. So God says, separate yourself from those situations. Separate yourself because that person's a bad person. No, separate yourself away from him, because if you get involved with that individual, you're going to go through a hell that you don't have to go to if you're willing to wait to do it God's way. Are you listening to me? God is not against you having things. He's against you, those things having you. How do you know? Because he says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and the spirit of mammon, deceitful riches, monies, possessions, and whatever is trusted in. Now, did it say that God was against you having riches? Nope. Did it say that God was against you having money? Nope. Was it say that God was against you having possessions? No. What he says is, if you have a wrong relationship with it, he says, then that thing will become your God and you will begin to serve it more so than you serve the true and living God. That's what he's all about. It's not the fact that you got the promotion. It's not the fact that you bought the thing that you always wanted. It's not the fact that you did all these things. The thing is are you serving them more than you're serving the true and living God? You said, well, I thought somebody said the love of money was the root of all evil. Well, they misquoted the scripture, and we're going to say it here. And of course, it's the 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is what it says according to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall have and be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man or woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says this in verse number 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did he say there was anything wrong with being rich? No. Did he say money was the root of all evil? No. He said the problem is when you become greedy and covetous. He says that's the issue. Well, that word love there in the Greek is the word avarius. That word avarius means that you have an inordinate desire of gaining and possessing wealth, covetousness, greediness, or insatiable desire of gain. So when he's talking about your love of money, he's talking about you having an inordinate desire of gaining and possessing wealth and covetousness and greediness and an insatiable desire of gaining money to the point that you pierce yourself through and through with all kind of wickedness and unrighteousness and things that happen that you're willing to do in order to get it. Why is that a problem? Is there anywhere else in the Word that Jesus talks about this? Well, if you ever read about the parable of the sower, this is what happens. This is the shift you have to make. He says, because if you don't understand that this is what's going on when you're chasing the bag or you're chasing this, and you're chasing that above chasing God, he says, this is what happens. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, he says this. Now, he who receives the seed among thorns is he or she who hears the word according to the kingdom of God. So you heard the word, but this is what happened. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches come in and they choke out the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. So what's going on? You have the word of God according to God's ways of doing things. But then you have the deceitfulness of riches, and you have lust of other things, and you have the cares. Cares of how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get that? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get that? You have these things going on. And what happens is those cares and those deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things become so high focused in your life that it causes the word of God to be choked out. And it holds more place with you than the word of God, and it begins to choke the word out. Does it mean that the word is not effective? No, but you have given more place to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things, and it causes the word that can turn your life around to become unfruitful. You said, give me an example in the Bible. This is what I'm going to give you, and this is also where we're going to close. We find this happen with the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 17, he says this. It says, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, what is he saying his desire is? To inherit eternal life. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. The young man looks at Jesus and he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and this is what he said. He says, one thing you lack, go your world, whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. Did you hear what Jesus says? He says, you go and sell whatever you have, give it to the poor. And he says, and you will store up treasures in heaven. He says, and then you come follow me, take up your cross and follow me. But when the guy heard it, you would have thought he's like, oh man, praise the Lord, eternal life. That's all I got to do. He would have had a sale right then. But what did it say? It says, but when he heard it, he was sad at that word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust, put their trust, confidence, and assurance in riches to enter into the kingdom of God, are God's ways of doing things. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus said, looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. What's the shift? I got to do Matthew 6:33. I had to seek first the kingdom of God and his ways of doing and being right. And then when I seek first God's ways of doing right, all these things that I'm chasing after, the house, the promotion, the cars, the family, all those things will be added to me. Why? Because I have made the decision in accordance with Exodus chapter 20, I will have no other gods before the true and living God. I will not bow down to them. I will not worship them. I will not give them my time. I will have no other gods. My job won't become my God. My money won't become my God. My house won't become my God. My spouse won't become my God. My children won't become my idols. No other gods before him. Not even one. And if there's anything else that I have held in higher esteem or give more place to than Almighty God, I make a heart decision today, Father, to turn from that. That's the shift. What happened? Was there anything wrong with the money? Nope. Was there anything wrong with the promotion? None of that was wrong. What he's saying is you got let it take more. It has more place with you than I have with you. And because of that, it drew you away from the things that you once thought were near and dear. Remember the rich young ruler, he kept the commandments. But when Jesus found his choke point, and all of us have a choke point, is that one thing that keeps you from fully following what it is that God has called you to do. That one thing that keeps you from fulfilling all God called you to do. And this morning, the Father wants to give you an opportunity to overcome that choke point and to turn and follow wholly after him. Why can't you have all these riches and still feel empty? Because you have given those things more place in your life than the true and living God. You can fix that this morning. We're going to do it right now. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which gives you this opportunity, says this. It says, the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth, is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray this prayer with me today. Confess it out of your mouth, meaning from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe you was put in the grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I turn from my old ways and I turn to you now. I will renew my mind by the word of God, that I may prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I will live my life according to your word from this day forward. I renounce all other gods, all other idols. I renounce the spirit of mammon. I renounce the spirit of pride. I renounce the spirit of perversion. I renounce the spirit of glutton. I renounce it right now and command you to go. Get out of my life this day. I am no longer available to you, but I serve the true and living God from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you made that prayer and prayed a prayer confession with us, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you to a right relationship with God. What do you got to do now? You got to get in a word-based church to teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teach you about the love of God, teach you about the kingdom of God. We know that faith life is such a place. We'd like to welcome you to join us every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll hear another word that will help you fulfill the practical principles of the Word of God that will ultimately change your life forever. On behalf of Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation and Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you for joining us. You have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.